today on Real Radio.
And he got into this incredible, bizarre pattern of thinking that if it's all going my way, then God must be in this. And that's a great sign of deception. Just because things are going really good doesn't mean that God's in it. We need to be very careful. Is the life that we're living biblical?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in chapter 18, and in a mini-series, the title of which is very familiar to us. It's a slogan that's found its way onto many a t-shirt and bumper sticker. If it feels good, do it. Quite obviously, we're examining those passages that were recorded during the period of the Judges that have parallels to our society today. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Judges 18 is a continuation, as it were, of chapter 17 in that what was going on in Micah's life, not the prophet. This is another man, Micah, who embraced pagan foreign deities, Canaanite images and idols. And if you were here, you remember the story how everything seemed to be going in his little pagan favor. He wound up stumbling across a Levite who was up for hire, a rent-a-Levite. So he got his little priest. He wound up carving out an image, these images of gods, set him up in his house and molded some images. That means he made them out of the metal also. He had metal gods and wooden gods, and he had altars, and he had all this false doctrine stuff going on. And all this was taking place in the land of Israel. And just the crowning moment was, man, if I could just have a priest, I'd have everything. So he's looking towards his son to do that. But then this rent-a-Levite comes along looking for a job, and he says, hey, I'll pay you to be my father and my priest. So he winds up paying this guy, and Micah winds up saying, man, God has blessed me now. And he got into this incredible, bizarre pattern of thinking that if it's all going my way, then God must be in this. And that's a great sign of deception. Just because things are going really good doesn't mean that God's in it. We need to be very careful. Is the life that we're living biblical? And so what happened in a house spread to a community, it wound up affecting an area, and we'll see tonight that it wound up bringing the entire northern part of a nation under the judgment of God. What started in the house wound up bringing the nation into judgment eventually. The title of tonight's message is, If It Feels Good, Do It. And that's exactly where the nation had slumped into. It was a humanistic, much like today, by the way, a humanistic worldview of thinking that there are no absolutes. That if you think, if you create, if it's important to you, and especially if you're emotionally passionate about it, then it must be true for you. And when you get down to that type of situational ethics, whereby you begin to create your own realities. I am going to project this persona and establish this world around me. I'll affect my mood and the mood of others, and then I'll be. And listen, it sounds so cute if it was just left at that. I'm going to project this happy thing, this happy thought. You know, think a happy thought, and that's great. But it doesn't stop there, because man's heart is evil. The Bible says. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah that men's hearts are deceitfully wicked. And that's just not men, that's women's hearts too are deceitfully wicked. It says that we can't even know the motives of our heart, why we do what we do. We're so like that. And so we can think a happy thought, and I'm going to project a very positive vibration. But listen, the truth is, I'm going to project this out and affect those that are around me. And because the source of our hearts is not right. It's to control or to gain power or to have others around you do what you want them to do. So I'm going to project this image. Why? That you might think of me in a certain way. That's control. It's in the human heart. It's a very dangerous thing. One of the things that begins to happen as we look to point one in this, if it feels good, do it, it is this danger of making up your own rules. Look with me, chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Mark that. Highlight it. Why is that important? Because going back to Judges 17, verse 6, look at it just a couple moments back there. In those days there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Definition of the word anarchy. So if you and I are going to live a life right now, if we're going to be on our college campuses and we're going to be talking about, well, as long as you're sincere and whatever you want to do, if it feels good to you, then do it. You got to understand something. It will affect other people. That's just the way life is. And so if you're going to go about making up your own rules because now there's no concept of God in your life and there is no king, that is, there's no godly leadership, the culture is going to go down the tubes. And how does it do that? Well, in verses 1 to 6, we learn this, that when you and I are going to make up our own rules, as they're going to do here in chapter 18, there's a tendency to go greedy. If we're going to make up our own rules, we're going to make up rules that's going to tend toward greediness. In those days, verse 1, there's no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites, or the tribe of Dan, was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not yet fallen to them. Remember, chapter 17, 18, and 19 is not in chronological order. God had told Joshua, I'm going to have you divvy up the land of Israel into these 12 regions. That predates what we're looking at here. Joshua had already brought them into the land by the time of the judges. But the truth of the matter is, the tribe of Dan did not like the land that was given to them. They wanted to change the location. God divined this location for this group. God issued this location for the other group, this other tribe, and so on and so forth. And God made the decision. A lot of people have a hard time, including yours truly, with some of the decisions that God makes. We all fight it. Don't look at me like you're looking at some exceptional sinner here. You and I are together on this. God says this, and we go, how come? God says do that, and we go, why? We're challenging him when we do that. God said, Dan, this is your region. It's going to be from the area of Benjamin all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. But they wanted some other area. They wanted a different location. I want something more like this. And they didn't like that. They began to become a greedy group. And so the tribe of Dan was allowed to that area, as I said, from Benjamin westward from the tribe or the region of Benjamin to the Mediterranean Sea. But listen, here's what happened. Even though they were allotted to that, this is the big, big deal. They failed to wage war against the Amorite kingdoms that were there, the Amorites, to defeat them. And because of that, because they couldn't defeat the enemies that were in the land, they were pushed out, and they went up northward into this area of Dan that we're going to look at here in a moment. Mark your Bibles, though. That's in Judges 1, 34. In Judges chapter 1, verse 34, regarding this topic we're looking at, making up your own rules, it says that the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down into the valleys. You say, well, Jack, what control did they have over that? I mean, look, they got beat up by the enemy. Here's the problem. Listen, everybody, this is very, very serious, and I wish we had all night to talk about this, just this one issue right now. Trust me, I could. God said, go into the land. When you go up out of Egypt and you cross as I lead you through the Red Sea and you come over to Sinai, Mount Sinai, which is in Saudi Arabia, the book of Galatians tells you, do not look at the Bible map that your Bible producer, publisher made. They all made the wrong map. They failed to read the book of Galatians. Read the book of Galatians. It tells you where Mount Sinai is. It says that it's in Saudi Arabia. Whoever painted your map in the back of your Bible, You're looking at me like I'm telling you false doctrine. Jesus did not make the maps that's in the back of your Bible. That was your Bible. That was your Bible publisher. They've got Mount Sinai not even near them crossing the Red Sea. They've got some goofball looking little arrow and then maybe them walking across the puddle. It's not the way it happened. It's in Mount Sinai, says the book of Galatians. And as they crossed over this way, they are on the side now, if you'll know your geography, Mount Sinai, Saudi Arabia, they're heading up now north, children of Israel, under the command of Joshua and Moses at the time, by the way. They get up to the area of Jordan. We've been there. It's awesome. Up to Mount Nebo. Their God, remember, Moses misrepresents the Lord. Instead of speaking to the rock, remember, because the children of Israel wanted water, he said, Moses comes out and says, must we bring out water again from this rock? And he hit the rock. And in God's graciousness, the water came out and watered all the people. And after everybody was all well watered, God said to Moses, come over here. And he said, what? He said, I didn't tell you to hit the rock. I told you to speak to the rock. The rock got hit the first time and water came out. You don't hit the rock the second time. Why? God was showing a pattern there. The sacrifice is smitten once, and then once it's smitten, you speak to it. Jesus was smitten once, and now you speak to him. So anyway, God says to Moses, you're not going in. You misrepresented me before the people. I'll put you up on a mountaintop. You can look into the promised land, but you're not moving in. The Bible says that God buried Moses in a place that is unknown till this day. That's amazing. Joshua now takes the command. And from the area of Moab and Edom, today we call Jordan, it is the royal kingdom of Jordan. He leads them now across the Jordan River. God dries it up when the ark and the priests go into the water, remember. They establish the pillars of 12 stones at Gilgal. And they worship the Lord. Once they come over, God speaks to Joshua and then speaks to the people and says to them, go now and do not fear any of those people that are dwelling in the land, because I will grant you the land. I will give you the victory. That is important. Today in the news and every day in the news, there is a whole group of people, and I understand where they're coming from. I truly do. Where they say, Israel is the invader, and Israel needs to get out of our land. By the way, the land only became desirable after May 14th, 1948. Interesting. Check that out in history. But here's the point. Weren't there people there in the land called Israel, under Roman rule, by the way? It was called Palestine. The Romans gave Israel that title. But weren't there people living there before Israel got there? I mean, come on, what's the deal? Isn't it first come, first serve? Yeah, I guess so. If somebody's there first, isn't it theirs? Normally, yeah. Well, then how can Israel claim that it's their land? There's only one way they can claim that it's their land. God promised it to Abraham. Yeah, but you know what? There were people there settling. They had cities. They had kingdoms. This is true. You're right. According to the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, which comes first, the flesh or the spirit? The Bible says the flesh comes first. That's why we need to be born again. We're born into the flesh first, and then we need to be born again of the spirit the second time, right? The flesh comes first. That's why God gave to Abraham the right of circumcision, to remove the flesh. Why? Because it's a symbol, it's a testament of the promises of God. See, if you're going to argue the United Nations that there were people there first, you got to agree with them. That's right, there was. There were people there first. All kinds of Canaanite tribes and all kinds of groups and tribal states. It's true. But if you believe in the Bible, who God who keeps his promises promised it to Abraham and gave the borders, it's all by promise. Remember, it's kind of rigged because God made the earth and the fullness thereof. It's all his anyway. But God says, push out the flesh and come in by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live under my rule. Do you see how that works? Now, the UN will never understand this. They're not going to get it. Because the flesh comes first, but the promise removes the flesh. That's why it will not happen. Israel will never truly be occupying, well, taking the land that was promised to them until a certain Jew returns. His name's Jesus. When he comes back and establishes the millennial kingdom of his rule, the boundaries are given. Solomon came close, by the way, to establishing those boundaries, but he never did it. Abraham was given the promise. Why am I telling you this? It's not even in my notes. I'm totally off the track. Abraham was given the boundaries, given the promise. Solomon came close to inhabiting them, but he didn't fulfill them all the way. Why? 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 Because the greater than Solomon must yet still come. In the second coming, Christ will establish that region of the world as his own kingdom. And then the Bible says that Israel will be a blessing to the earth. It's amazing. As we look to this, God promises the victory in the very battles of your life and mine, if we will believe him. You see, I believe him, but I got whipped. I wonder sometimes, in my own battles, I'm not going to pick on you, there's enough of my life to pick on. When God says, I want you to go forth and have victory in this area, and if I don't have victory in that area, whose fault is it? It's my fault. But then we hear people say, well, I don't know why God did that to me. God didn't do it to you. We failed, like the children of Israel, to follow through on his promises. God said, go in there, don't be afraid of their faces, and take the cities. You will have cities where you didn't even plant the food. You're going to have cattle that you didn't even raise. I'm going to give it to you. And they wound up wimping out. Their faith waned. Oftentimes, the various tribes had sin in their camps. They weren't obedient to God. I mean, look at the 12 sons that became those tribal leaders. I mean, they were something. Well, listen. Failing to stand firm on the promises of God, there must be, write this down, please. There must be stability for all things that tend to drift. Everything, those of you, and it's been about 1,000 years since I've had any science classes, but I do remember this entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, that everything is going from an ordered state to a chaotic state. You may not know that, but the moment you buy a car or a stitch of clothing and it starts to fall apart, you go, doggone entropy. Everything's going from an ordered state to a chaotic state. You buy a brand new car, first thing that starts to happen, it starts to fall apart. You drive it off the lot. Have you noticed? If you've ever bought a new car, you drive it off the lot and there's not one squeak or rattle in the car until you sign the paperwork, get back in the car and drive away. And it's why? Because it, in that last 3 hours of signing papers, it started to fall apart. It's true. Everything in the observable universe and even in the molecular universe that's beyond our ability to watch with the naked eye is going from an ordered state to a chaotic state. Everything. Did you know the sun is burning out? What's going to happen? Don't worry about it. You have time to get a tan still. But the sun is burning out. The sun's burning out. Everything's falling apart. Aren't you glad you came tonight? It's all falling apart. It's exactly as God said it would be. This is exactly how eternity winds up arriving, is for all of this junk to go away. Peter said it's all going to dissolve. He says the elements will melt with fervent heat. The King James translators in 1610 used the word elements, which is a pretty scientific term. Why did they use that word? Because in the Greek, it's the word atoms. The atoms will melt with fervent heat. Can you, is that awesome? I love how awesome and exact the Bible is. There's a day coming, and we see that happening in part. Everything that tends to shift or to drift needs stability. We shore things up. We strap our water heaters to the wall in Southern California. We pin things down. You anchor a ship. You build a strong foundation to a house. You establish laws for a people. You hope you have godly leaders in a nation. Why? To bring stability to things that drift. This is why God gave the Ten Commandments. Because our societies in life drift. They drift. I'm going to read something to you that is pretty much banned. It's certainly banned and made now illegal in many courtrooms in America. I'm going to read something to you that's been removed from government buildings. And it, in most cases, I believe, correct me please, email me if I'm wrong on this, but in most schools in America, what I'm about to read you is too naughty to make public. And the first thing is, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Can't have that in school. Can't have that in court. You can't have that in a federal building. Number two, you shall make no idols to yourself. Exodus 20, verse 4. You can't have idols. Now, listen. If you're walking around a courtroom and you see, you shall have no other gods before me, and that offends you, think about it. Why is it offending you? Maybe because you have a bunch of gods. Like this guy. He's got his little gods all set up. You see, why am I bringing this up? The tribe of Dan knew the Ten Commandments. You go through this and they almost, I counted them, they almost break every one of them. So you shall not have no idols for yourself. That's verse 4 of Exodus 20. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Could you imagine? You can't censor someone. They can say anything they want to. Remember there's that big thing, Howard Stern's cusses on the radio, but you can't stop him. It's a free country. But now they're trying to sue pastors for saying Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That makes people feel bad. And you need to be censored for that. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely crazy. Unbelievable. Number four, Exodus 20, verse 8 says, you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Translation, God wants you to take a rest. Will you slow down and take a break? Is that not needed today more than ever? Oh my goodness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a study taken from Judges chapter 18. Its title? A very relativistic and pragmatic slogan we've heard in our day. If it feels good, do it. Quite obviously many parallels during the time of the judges and in our society today. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, we'd like to extend an invitation for you to get in touch with us here at Real Radio. And there's more than one means to do so. You can call, click, or write, and we'll give you the details on that in just a moment. Now, there's more than one reason we'd like to hear from you. First, quite obviously, we want to hear from our listeners. And we want to know how the outreach of Real Radio is affecting your life and growth as a believer in Messiah. Secondly, if you have the desire to partner with us here at Real Radio, that will ensure that this outreach continue here on the air. Remember, Real Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. That doesn't necessarily mean large contributions. It simply means that we want our listeners to partner with us. Now again, you can call, click, or write. Our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. All contributions are tax deductible. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And finally, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and all of our contact information can be found there, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.